Hi, it's Caroline Stephen, financial journalist. You are here to create, not to be bestowed. You are not waiting for permission. These are some of the things that Ali Brown and I talk about in part two of our interview together. Just to recap on who Ali is, because over here in Australia, we might not be aware of her star pulling power. Over in the States, she is in the stratosphere of self-made entrepreneurs. Ali was a self-made millionaire by the time she was 35. She was ranked on the Inc. 500 list of fastest growing companies, dubbed one of Forbes women to watch. She's been featured on Secret Millionaire as an undercover millionaire and is an entrepreneur delegate for the United Nations Foundation Global Accelerator. In today's interview, amongst other things, we talk about how Aussies still seem to be inflicted and influenced by the tall poppy syndrome. But first up, we have Australia's most quoted authority on share trading, Louise Bedford, in Mindpower, as she talks about trading for a multi-millionaire.
After I'd been trading for around a decade, I was approached by a multimillionaire to come and trade his millions. What an opportunity. He said that, hey, come and set yourself up in my office and enjoy the ambience and trade this money. It was a fantastic experience. I realized that the way that I traded my own account was exactly the way that I needed to trade his account, even though there are a few more zeros on the end at that stage. Do you know, one of the things that that person told me, and remember he had a lot of credibility because he's a self-made multi-millionaire. One of his businesses sold for $75 million, just to give you an idea. He told me that you can't work your way to freedom. You need to invest. Invest in people. Invest in technology. But most of all, invest in yourself. Are you investing in yourself? Are you making yourself a better trader by making sure that you have those resources that you need at your fingertips?
Hi, I'm Terence O'Dean, the Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance at UC Berkeley, and I like talking trading.
Chris Tate and Louise Bedford have been running their Repeat for Free mentor program continuously for the past 17 years. They'll show you how to trade every instrument over every time frame. You want in? Register at tradinggame.com.au/priority. That's tradinggame.com.au/priority. In part two of our interview together with Ali Brown, I started by asking her, why did people play small?
Perfectionism, progress over perfectionism. You are never going to have the most perfect website or marketing. You know what? Someone's always going to have cooler videos than you. They're going to be younger. They're going to be hotter. They'll have more of a following on Facebook. Like, there's always a bigger boat. There's that saying, right? There's always a bigger, don't get caught up like when you're comparing your yachts. Like, there's always a bigger yacht's going to pull up and like eat your yacht. So what you need to think about is not being the best, but being yourself. Competing and comparing is only going to exhaust you. It's absolutely exhausting. And I know, because I played in that same category so long, that it was just about killing me, because I realized, you know what? People don't even know I'm the best anymore. And I was trying to show them. And finally, I was like, this is really tiring. Why don't I do what I call my sharp right turn? I'm going to go create a new category. And I'm going to get rid of everything I was doing and rebrand. This is a whole other conversation. But the bottom line is, you cannot make everything perfect. So just be the best you and deliver the most value you can. The other one is this permission thing that I know you've mentioned, Caroline, and it's waiting for permission. It's almost like everyone's waiting for the invitation. They're waiting to be bestowed some time of opportunity. You really create this. I love telling the story on stage because people just, their eyes go wide and they flip out. When I say, you know, there was a period between 2009, 2011, I won like 10 different business awards. And I said, do you know how I won those? And they look at me and I said, there's a site called Google. And I went there and looked up women's business awards and applied for everyone that I thought I could possibly qualify for. Now, I did. There was a few people nominated me, but a lot of these organizations didn't know who I was. They didn't know Allie Brown, but at least I let them know about Allie Brown and they could make the decision. So if you see an opportunity to get recognition, to get credibility in certain areas, to go for an award or some type of accolade that you think would help your career, then fill out the form. Like, you know, just give yourself permission to go for it. The worst that can happen is you get a no.
Let's talk about entrepreneurs. When you see, this is going off script slightly, when you see a woman that you coach or mentor or a man that you're talking to, does it strike you straight away that this person is going to make it, that they have the qualities necessary?
Often I can. A great example would be someone I mentored when she's launched her first online brand, Marie Forleo. A lot of people know her. I mean, she has like a gazillion followers now and does like, you know, like a lot of money a year. I don't want to give away your numbers. I don't think it's public, but like, you know, like tens of millions at this point, like super insane money. And I knew the moment she was in that group, she was a rock star because she had the hustle. She just worked really hard and she just got out there all the time and she still is. There are other people too. I know it's going to be a longer journey. You know, maybe they're not willing to do what it takes. Maybe they like want a certain goal, but they're like, well, I'm like, okay, well, here's a few different paths to get there. And I don't want to take any of those paths. Okay, well, then we need to reevaluate your goals. But for most of them, I see a few things. One is they do have some type of natural gift, typically, and everyone does. I'm convinced that everyone has some type of gift they can leverage into income in some way, shape, or form. It may not be online, it may not be marketing, but there's something they could use. The second is like the hustle. Like you've gotta be okay with working. And you know what? When you love what you do, I know it's cliche, but it doesn't feel like work. And that's really important because you're going to have to put in some long hours. You're going to have to pay those dues. And then when it's all working, one day it won't. And then you have to change it all again. That's when you get really upset. Oh, I have to keep re-evolving. And especially now everything changes so fast. It's crazy. And then the third thing I will say is the people in there for the long haul, that kind of leads into that. Not just the hustle, but the long haul, know that this is a journey. It's not about the destination. And I think that's really the fun of it. To me, there's so much joy in me saying a few years ago, you know what? I'm going to change my team so it's two or three people. I'm going to work 2 or 3 days a week for a while. I'm going to just go real deep one-on-one with the women who are making a million plus. You know, it's mostly my clientele now, and evolve, right? And I think if you don't adapt, that's going to really get in your way right now because business moves so quickly now that you need to see things coming and be open to changes. The businesses that failed, when you look back at the last recession, okay, which is the last, I mean, we think another one's coming, right? You tell me. But the businesses that had a really hard time with that were the ones, at least here in the United States, were the ones that were dinosaurs, like the auto industry, the financial industry. They were not adapting with what they saw coming. And a lot of them even saw it coming and were burying their heads in the sand. So, you know, manufacturing, these types of industries are set up to move so slowly. It's like they were still set up for the Industrial Revolution, that's what caught them blindsided. It'll be very interesting to see when this happens again, which companies are now prepared. Do they have a plan B? Do they have a way to shift what they're doing? You know, sad to say, I'm not sure if they do. I'm really not sure if they do, but you have that ability. As a small business owner, you do.
Are they Trump supporters? Will they impeach him?
Yeah, that's a whole other show. I pray, you know, I pray every night like that something good will come of this. I don't quite see it yet, but I pray something good will come of it. That's all you can pray for right now. I just can't read the news too much, honestly, because then I get all like, oh my God, the sky is falling, you know, but then you need to go back and remember that, like, you know, when I just take a deep breath and look at my family and then like they're all healthy and we have a lovely home and we're traveling and like, you know, this is where, you know, I'm going to tell you like, this is where having money is a huge blessing because I can be in control of my health care. I could be in control of the quality of food I eat. I'm in control of my kids' education. You know, we need to remember that like that those values of money, like everyone thinks of, you know, having money is just for the greedy to buy more cars. And no, increasingly in coming years, it is going to determine your actual quality of life. And I don't mean buying designer clothes. I mean, literally you having access, especially here in the States. I know it's different over there. You have a lot more wonderful services. But here in the U.S., it's going to be kind of every woman, man for himself. That's really what I'm feeling. You know, I just take a deep breath and remember, like, you know, we're safe. I want to help as many people as I can. But it's good to just take a deep breath and look at your family and go, like, you know what? I'm really proud that I've worked so hard and made this great income, because now I have little kids, you know, and I look at them and go, wow, I want to give you the best of everything. You know, sometimes it's all we can focus on.
Let's talk about entrepreneurs and how being an entrepreneur requires some degree of risk. And let's talk about mindset keys that people need to get out of their comfort zone and grow.
Yeah, well, we've probably covered most of them by now, but you know, the faith versus fear, the respected, you know, versus liked. Risk is a part of life right now. I think that's important for people to realize, like safe is the new risk. There's really no way around it. I don't see how you can have a quote safe, choose safe right now. What is safe? Having a job you're just going to get fired from anyway. I think you guys have it better over there. I mean, employees have all the rights in Australia, really. Why don't you have like 6 weeks vacation a year, and you got the health care, and you got your superannuation? And like, I was telling Brett, I'm like, if I came over here, I may get a job if they paid me a lot. But, you know, over here, it's you know, it's a big shift for a lot of Americans to start realizing they're actually responsible for themselves. You know, like it or not, this is just, you know, what's coming up here, even more so than before. And I think it's a great time to start a business or at least have some type of side income, you know, along with your job. And getting, you know, let's shift to something else, because I know you had it in the notes as well. And you wanted to ask me about the you wrote like a mastermind group, but also this is really about who you surround yourself with. And I remember hearing first from, I read a book in my 20s by Jim Rohn. God, he doesn't go away, does he? He's still everywhere, and he's dead, but like his advice is everywhere still, because you know why? It was the real stuff. Everyone's sugarcoating it now. They're trying to make, you know, personal development just so dumbed down and palatable. And like, Jim just would say, with a beautiful big heart that man had, I met him several times. He just said how it was, and he was about hard work and believing in yourself. And he said something in that book that stayed with me forever. And I read that when I was about 25. And he said, you will become the average of the five people you're around the most. Now, I was still in that job, and I remember reading that going like, I remember just sitting there. I was just in silence for a few minutes thinking about that going, wow, you know, I like my job. You know, it's okay. And these people are fun. They have, you know, we have a good time after work. We go out and talk, but really they just want to talk about what's on TV, or, you know, who the new accountant is at work, or they just were so just ordinary to me. And I was thinking, gosh, I'm craving something extraordinary. I'm craving something bigger in my life. So these people are nice, but if I want more of that, I need to be around people. I need to seek them out. They're not going to come find me. So I made an intention then to start being around different people, and I tried to join different groups and ask for introductions. And even today, I see even at higher levels, people get stuck in ruts going to the same events, learning from the same coaches, maybe going to just industry events. You need to get out of that box. You know, right after we record this in a few weeks, I'm going to the Forbes Women's Summit in New York, which is invitation only. I still walk in the room going like, how do I get invited to this thing? It's unbelievable. And like, I need to be around those women with the $500 billion companies. It's good for me, right? It lifts me up every time, and I walk out of there different. And so think of places and or people, you know, where you can spend time with those kinds of people that just naturally elevate you when you're around them, because you will start thinking differently.
What do you get out of the Forbes 500 meeting with women?
Oh, it's, you know what I love the most? They're just normal women who make a lot of money. They're a ton of fun. And usually sometimes this one isn't, but some of these events are kind of boring. And if I gather a few together, I'm like, you want to go get margaritas? They're like, yeah, let's get an Uber. And we'll, and like, I'm the bad attendee. Like, we'll leave, not early or in the middle of it, but like at some point, you know, not at Forbes. If anyone from Forbes is listening, I'm not the bad seed. But, I love that they're typically, I'm saying there are a few snooty ones, but typically they're really open. They love talking about, you know, I love high concept conversations. Mm. I love high levels of conversation. They see the big picture. Also, you know what I love talking with them about is the big picture of what's going on in the country, the world, cultural issues, politics, to be in a room of women who can have these conversations without belittling each other. without lashing out at each other. Like, you know, you don't want to get into these conversations online. You could tell, like, it's a bad deal no matter where you go. But to be in a room with these women and be able to have a healthy debate, that's what I get the most joy from.
You're gorgeous. I showed a photo of you to my boyfriend. He went, "Ooh."
You're funny.
How do men relate to you other than in that way? How do men relate to the whole a woman out earning their partner? Because this is an issue that comes up a lot with our share traders, and it creates a conflict.
Well, I know here in the States, I think it's about 40% now of couples. Typically, the woman is earning more than the man. Do you know what it is in Australia? Do you think it's less or about the same?
I don't know the statistic, actually.
I'm going to guess. I think U.S. is ahead in that. And what's really interesting about that is it's happened very quickly, which is why when you look at the grand timeline of the world of work, really, I mean, women really just came into the working world in droves. Well, originally after World War II. And then the 70s and 80s, they were like doing the corporate thing with the floppy tie. And they were all coming in and wearing pantyhose. And now kind of like, you know, now and see what unhinged everything in a good way is technology. Because the only limiter we had before was that it really wasn't possible in the traditional world of work for us to still raise a family and really honor our values while we had that traditional corporate job, right? Now it's just the doors are blown wide open. There's still a lot of hemming and hawing about equal pay and stuff in the world of work. But when you go start your own business, you have the power to shift that. And that's just blown it through the roof for a lot of women, because suddenly now they can have it all, you know, the saying. And now that we're matching work to who we are and how we work, it's escalated so quickly in just the last 10 years or 20, you know, 20 years since the net really came out. And it has shifted the dynamic a lot. And, you know, I've done a lot of study in this area and work with some great women who teach a lot of this material. And I think, you know, the men are adjusting, and some faster than others. But really what's interesting, it has changed the dynamic. It's changed the dance, the traditional dance between us, and who had, you know, who took care of this and who took care of that. And the best advice I can give you, and the reason I think my marriage now works so well, is that we really treat this as a partnership, and that I don't even think of it as my money and your money and, you know, like who earns what. It's more of a team. Like, we're operating as a team. And as long as you can align your values, I think this is my theory, in where your money goes, and make sure you both have enough support and asking for support from each other. You know, like, something as simple. Listen, I had a $1 million client had a breakdown on the phone last year because she realized she had escalated her business. She tripled it within a year. But then after I kept digging, like, why are you so stressed? I realized she was still doing school pickups. She was making dinner from scratch every night. She was doing all the laundry and housework still. And her husband worked a demanding job as well, but she was just kicking it up. Like, I mean, the money was just really flowing in. I'm like, honey, it's time to have the talk. It's time to have the talk. And I'm like, here's how you approach it. This is a great thing for men or women as a skill. When you're try to make it, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the tasks that need to be completed for this household to run efficiently. And I told her, I said, make a long list of everything that has to happen for dinner to happen, for your daughter to get picked up at school, for homework to get done. Just make a list and then sit down together and look at it. And say, okay, now which would you like to take on, and which, you know, and because here's the ones that I feel I do best. Let's start with that, and then which ones do you feel you could help with, and start approaching it from that team. Because if you start pointing at each other, going, "It's trash day," and you forgot, you moron, and like, you know, because we've all fought it, but we don't say it. It's just a whole new world, and I think just also be patient with the men, because honestly, I really feel like they're still adjusting. I have twins that are 4 years old, and one's a boy and one's a girl. So it's a magical kind of, you know, little scientific experiment.
Let's talk about your podcast a couple of weeks ago, Stop the Online Insanity. The share market industry is filled with shonks, and it's something that we come across a lot. And Louise Bedford, who's been trading for nearly 30 years, she sees it. Yeah, she sees it all the time. And for her, who's so authentic and done the hard yards, it's heartbreaking for her. So how do you trust people's online personas and recognize those who are authentic and those who aren't?
It's it's a challenging time for a lot of people on both sides. If you've been in the industry a long time and then you suddenly see people popping up Facebook ads and copying your material and selling your courses, which you guys, I'm just going to guess, you've been in this industry a long time. People are probably doing that to you. They're probably knocking off your stuff and then, you know, selling it. And you're like, wait, we actually know what we're doing and we teach people how to make money, but you don't. It's kind of like the emperor has no clothes. And unfortunately, I do think there's a lot of naive buyers out there who don't see the difference. This is exactly why I chose, I'm going to go back to the business point of view, I chose to get out of that game because to compete for the beginners, me personally, was exhausting. And I realized they're just going to go where it's cheaper because they don't know any better. And they don't care that I've been doing this 15 years and someone's been doing it 6 months. And so I changed what I was doing. So it's a big conversation to have, but just I wanted to allude to that. When you're shopping around or searching for a program or a mentor or a coach, don't just take the face value of things. You should be asking a lot of questions. How long have you been in the business? Have they been on credible media? You know, do they have testimonials and a real track record? Because often, you know, the people that are the most slick are actually the ones that you probably don't want to buy from. What is the word you just used? I love that word. Shonk. What is a shonk?
Oh, a shonk. Word. A phony.
I love that word. The Aussies have the best words for everything. So I'm now going to use the word shonk. I love that. Y'all a bunch of shonks.
Let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about American women versus Australian women and the psyche and the energy in business. Did you notice a difference when you're out here?
You know, it's interesting. I did. And I got to speak for an event for what, the last time I was there. Well, I had a workshop there. And then I also just spoke at an event while I was over there and got to do a lot of Q&A with the audience. That's my favorite thing. I like to present, but I love Q&A. I want to have a conversation. And most of the questions from the women, and this is just my experience, okay, I don't want to generalize, but most of the questions I get from the women in Australia are on, it's the fear, it's the stepping up, it's the tall poppy syndrome, it's all that stuff. It's almost like there's an extra layer that has to be maneuvered through to break free. And versus, believe me, American women have their own neuroses and some of them are worse, you know, but it did stand out to me pretty prominently. And I don't know where that comes from in the history. I'm sure there's some interesting theories if you get into just the evolution of Australia and maybe why that is. But I saw the same thing in the UK, by the way. Actually, I think there's even more, another layer in the UK. I think there's maybe two layers there to work through versus Australia. But women in general, we're wired the same way. You know, we're going to have to work through this, but I just see varying levels from country to country.
All right, Ali, here's a few questions that I like to ask my favorite guests. Tell me the first thing that comes into your mind. What is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
The best piece of advice I've ever been given is don't read the comments.
What's one thing that scares you?
Not being with my family. That would be that comes to mind very first of all. Yep. Like I just, my life has changed so much with these kids. I wasn't even sure I wanted a family and it was a very magical happening. And I can't imagine life without them now.
How do you define success?
On my own terms, and it varies. And I think that's the most important thing for us to realize now is that success right now means choices. And if you have choices, I feel like you should feel successful.
What's your idea of freedom?
I think time is more important than money, but they go together very, very well.
What would you tell your 14-year-old self?
Oh, God.
Don't date that guy.
So many. Yeah. High school was weird for me. I remember being so bored that I remember just acting out a lot, partied a lot. Like, you know, I made the good grades pretty easily, you know, not super high honors, but what we call honors here, like A's and B's. And so, gosh, I would just say, you know, stop caring what everyone thinks of you. And, you know, you're smart and you need to own it and stop hiding it.
Final three pieces of advice for listeners in the Ali Brown world.
Yeah. So the first thing is that to remember that in the end, this is all your decisions. This is under your control. Like a lot of this is, and you're going to decide who you are and what you want to be and how to make it happen. And I know it's so grossly simplified when I say it that way, and it almost sounds cliche, but in the end, really, this is about you and the person you want to become. Second thing to remember is that, you know, money's good, but who you become in the process is even more important. Another thing Jim Rohn said, you know, just since he's on my mind, is he said, you know, you don't become a millionaire for the $1 million. You become a millionaire for the person you become in the process. And when I heard that, then my mind was blown, because I'm thinking, wow, because you know what? When you've hit that point, you realize, I mean, you've become a stronger person. You've probably had to deal with some friends who were jealous. You've probably had to work through some business issues or a bad employee or a bad partner. Like you've become a different person in that process. So just be prepared that that comes with it. And then number three, my gosh, can we have some fun? Like just remember every day, like even today, you know, Brett works with me in the business now, and which is a whole other conversation because it was an adjustment. But what's fun is we woke up today and I'm like, I have a lot of work to do. I'm like, why don't we go somewhere else? So we decided to take the work and have like a nice working lunch. And then we moved to a coffee shop. Like, just how can you make what you do enjoyable? Like, even if it's just one day, you know, returning phone calls from a beautiful place, like sitting in a park versus doing it in your office. Maybe it's working in travel to your business that you have right now. Instead of having, maybe you're hosting workshops in a city, why don't you go have one where you'd like to take a vacation? Just flipping things on its head once in a while to keep you awake and alive, because I think we forget that sometimes.
Is there anything you'd like to offer our listeners?
Well, you know, what you can do is go to alliebrown.com, and I still have this great audio. We've had it up a few years. It's going to come down soon, but everyone loves it so much that we leave it up. It's called Top 10 Secrets for Entrepreneurial Women. And I'm telling you, secretly, the men love it too. Like, when I used to give out the CD at events, I'd have guys come up and say, oh, this is for my sister. Okay, it's okay. You can just take out the whoa and it says men, you know, just pretend it's for men. It has, like, if you liked anything I shared today, you're going to like that. A lot of like real juicy nuggets, interesting stories, and insights. A lot of people really like that. And we're going to be changing it. We're going to be changing the opt-in soon. So you probably want to go soon and grab it before it's gone. And also, I'd love if you tune into Glambition Radio. We have some incredible guests, everyone from, you know, these women with these $500 million companies to women who are doing startups to really interesting experts and leaders and change makers. And that's my favorite thing I do at Glambition Radio. It's on iTunes as well.
Ali Brown, what a delight to speak with you. Thanks for joining us from Scottsdale, Arizona, all the way to Sydney. It's been a
blast. This was great. Thank you.
And stay tuned next week to hear Chris Tate on more tricks of the game to use in short-term trading magic. I'm Caroline Stephen. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to TalkingTrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.